You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. This episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's an unofficial community center. A big thank you to our friends at McDonald's for always being there. I'm loving it. Happy weekend, everybody, and not so happy post-game podcast. The Wolves were defeated by the Clippers by 20 on Friday night in the rematch of Wednesday's. Also, kind of a debacle of a game between the Wolves and Clippers. We'll talk all about it tonight on the show. You know, key takeaways from the game, individual studs and duds, what to make of the Wolves now, four-game home losing streak, actually. Home, not just losing streak, home losing streak. And losing streak overall as well. And where do we go from here? We're going to do all that on the show today. Thank you, first of all, for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day, including on the weekend. And remember, Locked On Wolves is free and available on all platforms. That includes YouTube as well as all the audio platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, of course, the all-new Odyssey app. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B-Beacon with two Bs, two Es, C-K-E-N. Okay, so usually what we do first is game flow. I'm going to do a little game flow and then a little bit of, we'll do game flow. And then we'll talk bigger picture as well over the course of the rest of the show. So the Wolves lost this game 104-84. They scored 33 points in the first quarter. That means over the final three quarters of the game, your Minnesota Timberwolves scored 51 points over the final three quarters of the game. That's like the pace of a college team. Right? I mean, 36 minutes, it's close to a full college game, 51 points. I mean, that's worse than a college team in 36 minutes scoring 51 points, worse than most Division I college teams. The offense is, and we'll talk about this obviously in takeaways, it's just so bad right now. And it's very, very confounding given the track record of the head coach, Chris Finch, as an offensive mind, the offensive talent that is on this team. We're still only eight games, but like we're 10% of the way through the season now. I mean, it's getting late early at this point for the Timberwolves. They scored 84 points against the Clippers. I mean, the Clippers were a decent, they were a top 10 defensive team coming into this two game mini series in Minnesota. But I mean, 84 points, like, what are we doing? 84 points in 48 minutes for a National Basketball Association team that was supposed to be a top 10, 12 at worst, 14 or 15 offensive team in the league. I don't know. I mean, that's not game flow. That's a takeaway, I guess. I don't know. We'll start there. But in terms of the game itself, 33 points in the first quarter, it didn't actually feel as good as a 10-point lead after the first, 33-23. And it was really kind of the end of the first part of the second quarter. The momentum started to shift. And yes, the Wolves led by 10 at halftime, but it didn't feel like they were leading by 10. Sometime late first, early second quarter, it felt like things were already starting to shift the Clippers' way. Some kind of lazy one-pass, two-pass possessions by the Wolves, missed open shots. They made all their threes early in the game, even difficult threes, and it just kind of felt all of a sudden things flipped, and they weren't making even the wide-open shots. It was just like virtually every other game so far this season. And after that hot start, things immediately kind of hit an immediate downturn. And yes, they were up by 10 at half, but the third quarter was just like most of the third quarters we've seen this season. The Wolves couldn't hit the broadside of the barn, of a barn. The Clippers were scoring. When they weren't scoring, they were getting second chance opportunities. They had 15 offensive rebounds in this game. The Timberwolves could not clear the glass for the life of them. They were minus 20 on the boards for the game overall. And the third quarter was where things really, I mean, the second quarter is when they started to get bad. But the third quarter, the Wolves couldn't hit open shots, and it just compounded the problem. The Wolves, after being up 10 at half, were down three headed to the fourth quarter, and things went from bad to worse. Minnesota didn't score for the first basically 4 minutes of the fourth quarter, I believe. Towns total in the second half of this game had three shot attempts, and the Wolves scored 12 points in the fourth quarter. 12 points in a quarter, 27 total points in the second half of this game. 27 total in the second half, as I said before, 51 points over the final three quarters of this game. The Wolves scored well more than a third of their points in one quarter in this game. And I mean, there was really nothing to say about the fourth quarter other than the offensive execution being terrible, which we'll get into. For the game, the Timberwolves had 7 free throw attempts. The Clippers had 32. Yes, part of that is officiating. The game was officiated okay. I think the Wolves should have gotten more than 7 free throw attempts. But a big chunk of that was the aggressiveness or lack thereof by the Timberwolves getting to the rim. They shot 52 three-pointers in this game. They shot 37 two-point shots. I'm all for shooting three-pointers. Obviously, I mean, three is worth more than two. We can go back to the simple math of it. We've known for well over a decade now. The public has known for well over a decade. The more threes shot, generally speaking, the better, especially when you've got a bunch of guys that can make them. Last year, Taurean Prince, Karl Anthony Towns, Patrick Beverley, these guys are all 39% or better three-point shooters over the past couple of years. That's not happening right now for the Wolves. Now, Towns is making his threes. He's actually over 50% for the year now after this game, or maybe exactly 50%. But I mean, Taurean Prince isn't making his threes. Patrick Beverley isn't shooting enough threes. And the rest of the team, nobody else can shoot. It's just, it's unbelievable. They shot 34.8% from the field in this game. And I thought we'd hit rock bottom the other night when they were, I guess it was roughly that, right? I mean, there's been multiple games now where the Wolves have shot this horrible of a percentage from the field. And it's just so jarring. So the Wolves were, again, up 10 at the end of the first, up 10 at halftime, down only three headed to the fourth. They lose this thing by 20. They score 12 points in the fourth quarter. And it's a combination of some foul trouble, you know, due to the likes of mostly Jaden McDaniels, a little bit of Towns and Patrick Beverley, lack of aggressiveness offensively, and missed open shots. Those are the biggest issues. I mean, again, giving up 104 points is fine. The Wolves' defense, again, was pretty decent in this game. It was the offense and it was the rebounding. And I don't know. It's like bizarro Timberwolves world. It's the opposite of last year, right? It's the opposite of almost every year where it's the offense can't score. The defense is pretty good. And that's where we're living right now. It's been so bizarre so far this season. All right. Next, what I want to do is I want to do key takeaways, and you better believe we're going to talk offense. I want to get into the Karl Anthony Towns thing a little bit and his lack of shots and the rotation as well. And then we'll do individual studs and duds here tonight. First of all, though, let's talk about McDonald's. This episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's a place where friends and family can come to reconnect, a place where classmates can meet up for a study group, knowing they'll have dependable Wi-Fi and endless supplies of French fries and McFlurries. Win or lose, it's a place where teammates, competitors, the home team, or the away team can come to recharge. It's the place you always look forward to stopping at on a long road trip to rest your legs and refuel. McDonald's is my family's go-to on road trips. And, you know, early mornings, if we leave here in Oklahoma City, we're driving to Minnesota, and we'll stop at a McDonald's in Kansas. We'll get sausage egg McMuffins in the morning. Late night, coming home from work sometimes, certain times of the year, I work a lot later, I'll pick up McDonald's on the way home. McDoubles and fries are the go-to then. And I actually had it for lunch this week as well, a couple of days. McDoubles and fries almost every time when it's lunch or dinner or late night. You can head to your local McDonald's to refuel and reconnect. Did somebody say a Locked On Wolves watch party? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm loving it. All right. Let's also talk about our friends over at Calm. When it comes to athletes, we tend to focus on physical fitness, but there's another side to the game that's just as important: mental fitness. Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind to become the champion version of yourself. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body, but you don't have to be a world champion to learn how to train it. Calm can help you train your brain so you sleep better, reduce your stress, and perform at your best, just like King James. For LeBron, sleep is a critical part of his mental fitness routine. As he says, quote, "Getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and mind. From the sound of rain falling on leaves to bedtime sleep stories, Calm puts me to sleep within minutes, which means I wake up ready for any challenge," unquote. So if you head to calm.com/lockdownNBA for a limited time, you'll get 40% off a Calm's premium subscription. With Calm, you have access to the nature scenes LeBron loves, like rain on leaves, and so much more, like sleep stories and meditation, so you can be ready for any challenges that life throws your way. Again, for a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm and get a 40% discount on a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/lockdownNBA. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/lockdownNBA. That's calm.com/lockdownNBA. All right, let's go ahead and talk key takeaways from this one. Obviously, number one is the offense, right? 84 points, 34.8% from the floor, 32.7% from beyond the arc, only 7 free throw attempts on the night, which is just, just unbelievable. I don't know how Anthony Edwards shoots the ball 20 times and attempts one free throw. Karl-Anthony Towns shoots only got 11 shots up, which we'll talk about in a second, attempted three free throws. So there's multiple issues here. We'll start with the lack of free throws. Part of this is a lack of aggressiveness. Absolutely. Especially early in the game, the Timberwolves were far too content to just sit back and shoot threes. And yes, they should be shooting, I don't know, 35, 40, whatever, how many threes a game. Fine. They should be a good three-point shooting team. And they haven't been so far this season, right? They were, I think, 23rd in the league coming into this game in terms of percentage, despite being first in three-point attempts per game. In fact, Dave Benz made this point on Bally Sports North that the Timberwolves are only the second they missed the second most three-pointers ever over their first seven games. The only team that missed more was one of the recent versions of the Rockets, who of course attempted an ungodly number of threes in every game. The Wolves attempted 52 in this game. They made only 17. They're going to be probably bottom five in percentage in the league now. They'll still be number one in three-point attempts per game. 52 in this game. Well, more than half of their field goal attempts were threes. So that was an issue early, not getting going to the rim. Now, Anthony Edwards attempted 12 threes. That means he attempted 10 twos. I can think of at least three mid-range shots he made. The rest of those were all in the paint. And there were a couple of those he should have gotten foul calls. There's one that was a blatant foul. If it's a Zubats, definitely hit him on the arm. He got zero ball. I think that was maybe, late second quarter, you know, first half. But then there were as at least one other in the second half. So, you know, a couple of those, he should have gotten free throw attempts. So there's a little bit of officiating noise in there too. But the gap of 32 free throw attempts by the Clippers to 7 by the Wolves is not all on the officiating. That is the aggressive or lack of aggressiveness from the Timberwolves getting to the rim. There's a little bit of officiating, a lot of lack of aggressiveness. I mean, the gap should be a little closer, but I mean, it doesn't seem that off if you just watch this game, right? Given the Timberwolves, how content they were to just simply shoot threes all game long. The second piece of this is the Karl-Anthony Towns thing. So Edwards attempted 22 shots in 32 minutes. That's fine, right? I mean, he only played 32 minutes, partly because of garbage time. He wasn't really in foul trouble. He ended the game with four fouls, but he was fine. Towns played 32 minutes, attempted 11 shots, three of them in the second half. He had eight field goal attempts at halftime, attempted three in the second half, was 7 of 11, 3 of 5 outside the arc, perfect 3 of 3 from the line. Very efficient. But why didn't he shoot the ball 6, 7, 8 more times in this game? He's going to still be third on the team in usage rate behind Anthony Edwards, behind D'Angelo Russell, who missed his second straight game with the sprained ankle. And Towns needs to be number one in usage rate on this team. This is at least partially a coaching issue. And I'm not going beyond the first eight games of this season. I think Chris Finch will be a very good coach. I think he was a good coach at the end of last year. I think there's a lot of things to like about Chris Finch. But right now, what he needs to do is find Karl-Anthony Towns more ways to score. I said this after Wednesday's game, or I should say put him in better positions to score. I said this after Wednesday's game. The Clippers did an outstanding job guarding Towns. They did the same thing in this game, and it worked. Yeah, Towns got 20 points and 11 shots. Yes, he was efficient, but it didn't matter. He turned it over six times. He had zero assists in this game. Every time Towns caught the ball below the three-point line, he was doubled immediately on the catch. The Clippers put Zubats on other players, and they didn't, you know, on Wednesday, it was on Josh Okogie. Okogie got another DNP CD in this game, by the way. He didn't play at all. And they would put Zubats on you know, whoever else was on the court. Wouldn't necessarily put him on Towns every time down the floor. They'd put Nicholas Batum on him and front him in the post, and then they would bracket him with the second defender. Or occasionally, they would, if they played him straight up with the defender behind him, they would bracket him over the top on the catch. So that's why Towns was able to get up five threes. Five of his 11 shot attempts were threes. The other night, I think exactly half, I believe 8 of 16 shot attempts were threes for him on Wednesday. And he was effective from outside the arc, 3 of 8 the other night, 3 of 5 tonight on Friday. So the 3-point shot's working for him, and the Clippers kind of said, okay, we'll let him get his 3, 4, 5 threes a game, but we're not going to let him do damage or get to the free throw line or any of that stuff in the paint. And it worked for them. The Timberwolves could not figure it out. Towns could not split double teams. He could not accurately pass the perimeter because the Clippers did such a good job of swarming him. The Wolves couldn't find the right angles to present themselves. The fact that Towns was doubled on the catch all night and had zero assists to six turnovers is unbelievable. That's partly Towns' fault because I think sometimes he panics a little bit. He gets a little dramatic and flails around. I think everybody's seen that. partially his teammates' fault for not getting themselves open, for not knocking down shots when they had the opportunity. I'd like to go back and watch and see how many, on a second watch, how many missed shots should have been assists for Towns. So this was not Cat's fault entirely, but there is some blame on Cat. I do put Chris Finch a little bit under the spotlight for not being a little bit more creative. We haven't seen nearly as many horn sets, as many opportunities for Towns to be in the mid post kind of free throw line extended as we did towards the end of last year. I'm not really sure why that is. I think those sets work really well with D'Angelo Russell, and with him not being on the court, that's maybe a piece of it, but obviously he played in the first, what, six games of the season. So I think there needs to be something figured out there. There's just no reason in a game when you're up 10 at halftime, down three going to the fourth quarter, any of those scenarios, why Carl Anthony Towns, the best player on your team, one of the best 20, 22, 23 players in the league, should attempt three shots in 24 minutes of gameplay in the second half of a close game, or what was a close game until it got away from the Wolves. The Wolves coaching staff just has to do a better job of finding him shots. Anthony Edwards needs to stop settling so much for three-pointers. There were another three, four of these plays where he gets downhill and he basically bowls people over on his way to the rim and he makes shots. It's like a stronger version of James Harden when he gets going downhill. He's not getting foul calls, which is part of it. And I think it's partly because he's so strong and also he hasn't earned that yet for whatever reason. That's how NBA officiating works. But he also just doesn't do it enough. I mean, he's unstoppable when he gets going towards the rim and gets his momentum going downhill. He needs to do that more often. All right, last takeaway, foul trouble. The Wolves the other night, it was a couple games ago. It might have been the Nuggets game back, I guess, almost a week ago now. They didn't get called for very many fouls. And Chris Finch talked about it after the game, said basically it's because they weren't aggressive enough defensively. Well, Jaden McDaniels has gotten into plenty of foul trouble the last couple games. Picked up three in the first like 8 minutes on Wednesday. He fouled out in 13 minutes in this game. Six fouls in 13 minutes. Patrick Beverley fouled out in 27 minutes. Jared Vanderbilt had five fouls in 22 minutes. So they had three guys with, or excuse me, and also Carl Anthony Towns had five fouls in 32 minutes. So they had four players with five or six personal fouls. Naz Reid had three in just 16 minutes. The Wolves were whistled for 33 fouls in this game to the Clippers 16. Again, part of it, yeah, officiating wasn't outstanding. The other piece of it, though, is that the Wolves are just, they're just not doing a good job of defending without fouling. They're getting a little too handsy, not moving their feet enough. That's more of a technique thing. And then also, I think they're just getting a little bit desperate. They got so many steals the first couple games of the season, so many blocks, so many run-out opportunities against the Rockets and the Pelicans. I think they're just getting frustrated when they're not getting those opportunities now, and it's biting them a little bit. Last thing in the takeaway section here, Paul George shot 4 of 20 from the field, 0 of 7 outside the arc. And the Timberwolves lost by 20. He scored 21 points on 20 shots because he was 13 of 14 at the line. 0 of 7 outside the arc, 13 of 14 at the line. Reggie Jackson, again, had two straight great games. He was awful the first, six games of the season. Was fantastic both games in Minneapolis. 20 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, 8 of 16 shooting in this game against the Wolves. Terrence Mann had 13 off the bench. If you hold Paul George to 4 of 20 shooting and 0 of 7 outside the arc, 6 turnovers for Paul George, you should win the game with no Kawhi Leonard, right? Obviously, you know, that's the biggest deal, but no Marcus Morris, no Serge Ibaka. This is a relatively depleted team, and yet the Wolves lost by 20 because they could not get their offense going, and they were minus 20 on the glass. It's just very frustrating that this is where we're at. 3-5, 7 of the first 8 games at home, and you steal a game on the road against the defending champions, but yet you go 2-5 on your home floor. All of them against teams, you know, these last two against the Clippers are going to be a playoff team. But for the most part, I guess they had one game against Denver, but these were winnable games. I mean, the Wolves should have gone over their first 8. They should have gone at the very least 5-3, if not 6-2. And now here we are 3-5 with a difficult 4-game West Coast road trip coming up. Memphis on Monday, and then they go to California for 3 straight. It's going to be rough. All right, I want to get into individual studs and duds next here. That's how we'll close the show here today on the weekend. First of all, let's talk about Built Bar. I love Thanksgiving, all the good food and treats, and plenty of them. but maybe you want a yummy dessert that isn't so full of calories and sugar. It's the perfect time for Built Bars. Built Bar is the new holiday dessert. Feast on something delicious and feel good about it. One slice of pie has upwards of 300 calories, and that's on the low end. Most Built Bars are only 130 calories and only 4 grams of sugar with plenty of protein. Replace the coconut cream pie with coconut Built Bar, or go for a raspberry Built Bar instead of that raspberry pie. Lots of good flavors to replace any pie. Low calorie, low carb, low fat, high protein, covered in 100% real chocolate. Built is a great option for when you're hungry. If Thanksgiving isn't coming soon enough, go for a Built Bar or two. Share some at your family gatherings. It will make things less awkward. Maybe Aunt Betty hasn't tried a Built Bar yet. New surprises all month. Limited time flavors arriving at Built.com regularly, so check the site often. There's nothing like a Built Bar Black Friday. Mark your calendar. Black Friday will be a huge event with all sorts of surprises. Go to Built.com. Use promo code LOCK15. You'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. Okay, let's go ahead and talk individual studs and duds from Wolves Clippers. This is actually pretty tough. I don't know who I'm going to pick for a stud in this game. I don't feel good about anybody. Honestly, nobody played a very good game. I mean, Anthony Edwards had moments. Karl-Anthony Towns had an efficient game, but he had the 6 turnovers, the foul trouble. It wasn't quite aggressive enough offensively. Malik Beasley had 18 off the bench, but he was 6 of 16 outside the arc. Didn't do anything besides score in this game. I don't know. I don't think I've ever had a game, even in the doldrums of last season, where I just didn't feel good about giving anybody a stud. I'll give one to Naz Reid. 8 points, 5 rebounds, 3 of 6 shooting. He was a plus 8 in 16 minutes, 2 assists and a block, only 2 turnovers. He was pretty good when Towns was off the floor and helped the Wolves kind of keep pace with the Clippers bench. So I'll give one to Naz. I'll also give one to Jared Vanderbilt. 2 points in 22 minutes on 1 of 3 shooting, but 8 rebounds in 22 minutes, 2 blocks and a steal. Pretty solid off the bench. He did have the 5 fouls in 22 minutes and he turned it over 3 times, but grand scheme of things, his energy is really important. And the Timberwolves need more of that. And I will continue to advocate for more Jared Vanderbilt minutes. We talked about this on Friday's show, but Vando, Jade, and McDaniels need more minutes together. And I think that's something we got to pay attention to is how often they're playing together on the floor. I guess just because it's the rules, I'll pick a third one. It's tough. I'll give one to Towns. 20 points, 8 rebounds, 7 of 11 shooting, 3 of 5 outside the arc. Those numbers all sound great, but 0 assists, 6 turnovers, and 5 fouls in 32 minutes aren't fantastic. There were, again, a couple of foul calls he probably shouldn't have gotten. We saw a little bit more of Cat exerting his, displaying his frustration to the officials in this game than we've seen over the past few. But some of it was fair. I think that he got a couple quick whistles, and at this point, his reputation is preceding him, especially on the offensive end of the floor in terms of those offensive fouls. But 20 and 8 on 11 shots for Cat, not bad. The turnovers aren't great, but I partially blame his teammates for not helping him out enough on those double teams. Duds are a lot easier to figure out for this game. We'll limit it to 2. For one, we'll go with... I know Malik Beasley had 18 points, but this was not a good Malik Beasley game. I mean, he was 6 of 16 outside the arc. That was good, but he only attempted 2 twos. He forced a couple of threes. He missed both of his 2-point attempts, 1 rebound in 36 minutes, 1 assist in 36 minutes, 1 steal in 36 minutes, and it was a minus 28. I like that he tried to shoot his way out of a slump, and he played fine the other night. Going back to the Denver game last Saturday, he's played better over the past week, certainly than he did in the first week, but we're still not to where we want to see Malik Beasley. A second dud in this game, I'll go with Patrick Beverley. It's tough because he almost had the triple-double on Wednesday, and 5 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists in 27 minutes, not awful, but he fouled out in 27 minutes and just didn't quite look like himself in this game. Minus 23 in the plus-minus column. It just wasn't Pat Bev's best game. This was just one of those games, though. I could have just not done that segment and just said, yeah, the whole team didn't play great. Most of the guys didn't play terrible overall, given the context of the team. But if the team scores 84 points and shoots 35% from the field, nobody really had a good game, right? Even if it's not any one player that brought the team down. So it's just I don't know. I don't know what to say about where the Timberwolves are at right now. I mean, if you told me that in the first eight games of the season, the Timberwolves would score under 100 points five times and only break the century mark three times in eight games, I'd tell you you were insane. This is supposed to be a very good offensive team. And I know that D'Angelo Russell's out. He also missed Wednesday's game, by the way, and it was like their second best offensive game of the season so far. D'Lo wasn't very good the first six games of the season before he got hurt. So that's not why they scored 84 points in this game. I don't know. Josh Okogie didn't play, and he was part of the problem early in the season, earlier in the season, in terms of his lack of offensive game and teams leaving him open. So I don't know where to go from here. I mean, Towns needs to get more shots. That much is clear. And the Wolves need to get Edwards going downhill more often, run more sets to get him to get him on dribble handoffs or whatever that might be, to get him going to the rim early in the game. And then he can play off of that with the step backs and the, you know, the mid range shots and stuff like that. But he's got to get to the rim earlier and more often in these games. And that's where we're at. The Wolves are off this weekend. No game Saturday, no game Sunday. We'll be back on Monday with a preview show for Wolves Grizzlies on Monday night. The Wolves go on a four-game road trip to the West. Well, I guess they go slightly east to face Memphis on Monday. Still a Western Conference team. And then three games in California. The Warriors, Clippers, and Lakers are all on the docket. And it doesn't get any easier for the Timberwolves. In fact, it gets a lot harder in the next couple of weeks. So we'll be back Monday. We'll preview that. We'll talk about any news over the weekend. And all that will be on Monday's show. In the meantime, thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. Remember, Locked On Wolves is free and available on all platforms. That includes YouTube, as well as Apple, Google, Spotify, and the all-new Odyssey app. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at BBeacon with two Bs, two Es, C-K-E-N. Remember, the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. The Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.